Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We praise you. We thank you. We need you. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God is good. And all the time. Thank you for being with us today. It's great that at my stage of the game, you can be anywhere. But I'm especially pleased to be with you all this morning. It's just great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day with the Lord's people. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're special. Amen. Amen. Now we're fixing to do something real special. We're going to get into the Word of God together. Amen. And Brother Andrew's right. We believe the Bible from cover to cover. We believe it's God's Word. It's inspired. It's infallible. It's inerrant. And it's authoritative for us. Our belief and our practice and all of that flows from the Scriptures this morning. We're in Revelation chapter 3. We're returning to our theme for the year. An open door in 24. Say it with me. An open door in 24. And I want to talk to you this morning about an open door of opportunity. Let's all rise. If you have found Revelation chapter 3. And I'll start there at verse 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Revelation. There is no S on Revelation.
Amen.
This is the revelation, the uncovering, the apocalypse, the revealing of the holy, resurrected, glorified Christ. Amen. That's what the book's all about. It's not a series of revelations. It's the uncovering of the Lord. Amen? And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Father, would you add your blessing to the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your word this morning? Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. An open door of opportunity. Now, Jesus is sending a message to the seven churches. He gave this letter and this message to all seven of these churches. And Philadelphia just happened to be one of those churches. Now, Philadelphia, let me tell you a little bit about the city. Of course, you know the name Philadelphia means what? Means what? Okay, that's better. And Philadelphia was sitting in a very strategic place. It was situated on a main route from the west all the way to the east, where Rome was. It was often called the gateway to the east. The city had another name called the Little Athens because of the number of temples that were in the city to these foreign deities. The church was located in a great place of opportunity. One major problem that the city had, they were famous for earthquakes. I want Clarksville to be famous for a lot of things, but I do not want to be famous for earthquakes. And in 17 BC, the city was almost destroyed by an earthquake. And some of the citizens refused to move back into the city because of their fear of earthquakes and tremors and that happening again. And so what many of them did, they remained in the surrounding countryside living in tents and huts as if that was going to protect them from an earthquake. But you need to know a little bit of what the culture and what's going on there in the city, and that's the background for the Lord's message to the church in Philadelphia. And so Jesus begins here describing himself as holy and true. How many of you know Jesus is holy? He's never done anything wrong. He's never made a misstep. He's never made a misstatement. He's never made a mistake. He is holy. He's righteous. And the Bible says that he's not only holy in his actions, he's holy in his words, his character, and his purposes. And he is the one true, authentic God. Jesus describes himself as holy and true. Now, there were hundreds of gods in John's day, and I want to tell you what, there's hundreds of gods in our day. They're not real, they're idols, they're false gods. But only Jesus Christ is the one true God. Amen? Amen? And so he's holy and true, and he has the authority to open and close doors. Did you know that? Now, anytime in Scripture you see someone holding a key, maybe a key to the city or a key to something else or a facility or something, that key gives that person the authority to open and close doors. And specifically, anytime in Scripture it mentions the key of David, you're talking about a messianic title or office there. And so what John's telling us is, as the holder of the key of David, Jesus has the sovereign authority to control his kingdom. You understand that Revelation chapter 1 declares that he has the keys to death and hell. How many of you know that? He's got the keys. But in this particular passage, he's got the keys to salvation and blessing. And no one can shut the doors to the kingdom if Jesus is holding those doors open. And no one can shut those doors if Jesus is holding them shut. We can't open them. No one can. And so he has sovereign control today. He's the one in charge. No matter what else is going on around us, Jesus is holy and true and powerful and sovereign over the events of the universe. And he had a message that day for the church in Philadelphia. And bless God, he's got a message for Second Mile Church this morning. The Word of God is still speaking today. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, let God speak. God's going to speak. The problem is, how many of us are going to say yes, Lord? All right, let's open this up. Let's look at this open door of opportunity. Now, there were all kinds of things that involve opportunities here to the church in Philadelphia. There was an open door. And the first thing that we look at and we wrap our hearts and our heads around is there was an open door for them to witness. Look at 8, verse 8. He says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, the city of Philadelphia had a church right there in the center of town, and they had an opportunity to minister. And many of those temples to Greek gods give evidence that there was a lot of lost people in Philadelphia. Hello? And there are a lot of lost Jews and Gentiles in the city of Philadelphia. They needed a witness for Jesus. Somebody needed to share Jesus with these dear people. As I think about the city 2,000 years ago in Philadelphia, I think about Clarksville. Brothers and sisters, this is a lost community. This is not a saved community. Now, hopefully, prayerfully, most of you all are saved, but the vast majority of Clarksville is lost. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Am I telling you the truth? Yes. If you just get out of your front door every night. I had a lady in my last church tell me, Brother Cal, I just don't know any lost people. I said, what? Where do you work? Oh, I work down at the school. Folks, there's lost people all around us. Everywhere we go, we've got lost folks. And guess what God expects us to do? Acts 1:8, we're to witness to them. We're to share our faith with them. And so I just, as I think about Clarksville, brothers and sisters, we are ripe for revival. Churches are coming together to work together. Pastors are coming together to pray. I was in a pastoral prayer meeting this past Friday. And you know what we were praying for? Revival. And when God revives the church, you know what happens in the community? Spiritual awakening. Because people start getting in gospel conversations with folks, and people start getting saved. Hey, have y'all heard what's going on out at Mosaic Church? They had 253 people baptized the last two Sundays. 250. Yeah, we give God praise for that. Oh, but they're not Baptists. Who cares? There's only one church if we're going to get right down to it. And God expects His people, His church, to give a witness wherever we are. And I want to tell you, there's something going on here. I can't put my finger on it. I'm praying and hoping it's God. After the pandemic and the tornado, you know, a lot of folks are asking spiritual questions. They want to know, what in the world's going on? Well, guess who has the answer? It's not just God. We do. The Bible tells us that it would be like this. The things that we're going through. And so we've got an open door to witness. Our Good News Club, let me just share a little bit of what's going on over at Moore Magnet. We have 31 kids there Tuesday. 17 kids are now on a waiting list. They can't get in because our room's too small. So the principal's going to try to get a larger room for us. We had two children pray to receive Christ on Tuesday. I said we had two people pray to receive Christ on Tuesday. And so I got on the phone with his, hers, and ours, and a lot of different parents and fathers and mothers involved in this, but I think we're going to be able to baptize at least one of them, maybe both of them, and they asked where the church was. That's like taking candy from a baby. I mean, you give a preacher a bone like that, and he's going to start gnawing, amen? So we got all kinds of great things happening right now. Y'all know how many kids we've got signed up for Disciple Now? 706. 706. And yes, she's right. We have 16 of ours ready to roll. We've got 15 out of Kenwood that are going. But D-Now is going to be a fantastic weekend, and we're going to see dozens of young people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Whoo, glory. I'm excited, can you tell? Youth and college students are being baptized everywhere. Y'all wanted to be in the dark, I guess. They've got to be able to see the scriptures now, brother. We have an open door of opportunity to witness and share our faith, and I want to challenge us as a church family to walk through that door this year. To get into a gospel conversation with the people you work with the folks that you run into, with the people in your neighborhood, with your family. How many of you got a lost family member? Have mercy. They need Jesus. And so we got an open door to witness. Secondly, the latter part of verse 8 says, we got an open door to work. Look at verse 8 again. For you have a little strength. The church in Philadelphia had a little strength. But you've kept my word and have not denied my name. The believers in Philadelphia at the church had kept the word and not denied his name. The believers had stayed with the stuff. Even in the face of great opposition, they had kept on keeping on. They had endured some type of special testing, and I'll talk about that in a minute, and they'd proved themselves faithful. Well, what kind of work are we talking about? Service? Ministry? How many of you figured out it's about serving others? It's about serving others. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so we're to be serving and doing ministry. Now, let me just kind of make that application for us this morning. If you are on our church council, I want you to stand. Today, y'all. All right. These are our church council members. And these folks stand for all the five. Just keep standing. Keep standing. They take care, they administrate over the five pillar ministries of the church. Where is JD? JD, you go ahead and stand up. This brother heads up our prayer ministry. I'm kind of the prayer leader, but he takes care of a lot of the prayer stuff that's going on in our church. How many of you know the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to sing. Teach us to preach. Teach us to love. What'd they say? Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. And this brother's over the prayer ministry here. This brother, one of the great pillars of the church, was worship. And guess what? You heard his plea last week. We need some folks to get it plugged in and involved in the ministry of music and worship. The media team back here. We got a good praise team and a good band. But there's many of you all that can sing, and some of you guys can flat out sing. Guess what you ought to be doing? Singing for God's glory. And so he's over the worship team. Now, let me move over here. Here's Billy Walker. He's over our discipleship ministry. And we've got all kinds of teachers. Bless God, one of our deacons is now going to be teaching on Wednesday nights with our teenagers. And Billy kind of heads up our discipleship team. He heads up our home group meetings. How many do we have now in our home groups meeting all around the community? 60, something like that? That sounds like a good pastoral number, right? All right. And so we've got Bible study and Sunday school, you know, after the worship service. So see Billy if you want to get involved in that. There's Betty Barnett. This is one of the workingest mamas in the church right back here. She's over fellowship. And there's all kinds of ministries available there. Hospitality, women's ministry. Anniversaries, birthdays, all of that stuff. Betty's over. If you could serve on one of those teams, see Betty. Here's this sister here. Katie is over missions and evangelism. And, you know, we've got MoCo Day. We need folks to serve on MoCo Day. Y'all know Second Mile loves Montgomery County? Second Mile loves Montgomery County? Yes. All right. And we do stuff at the car washes and the laundromats. That falls under her. We've got a military ministry that should fall under that umbrella. If there's some type of missions and evangelism that you could work in and serve in, see Katie. Hallelujah. And then Mike Rainey is our chairman of deacons. And we just brought on some new deacons. But there's a lot of places that you can serve in and through this church. And we're expecting you, you know, I've told people, don't come to our place if you're not willing to work and serve. Because that's what exactly the Bible teaches that we're to do. So, anyways, we have a mindset to work. To serve, and it's an open door. And by the way, we need help on Wednesday nights bearing the burden of prayer. Come on, JD. Amen. Amen. By the way, if you love babies and children and teenagers, college students, there's a place for you to serve. Amen. God's given us an open door for ministry. Have you walked through that door? Where are you serving? Who are you working with? Well, I do things outside the church. Well, that's great. But I want to tell you, Jesus died for the church. He rose again for the church. He's praying for the church, and he's coming again for the church. So why would you not want to work in and through the local church? Oh, that's a good sermon. I'll need to pull that one up sometime. All right, so here's a third open door for us, and I'm calling this an open door to withhold. Look at verse 9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. Ooh, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to go? The synagogue of Satan. who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I'll make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. This is Jesus speaking to the church at Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold. What does behold mean? Look at here. Watch this. Lean in. Listen to me. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. We have an open door to withhold. Now, I don't know if y'all figured this out yet or not, but a strong preaching, devil fighting, fast growing, spirit walking church has opposition. We've upset the apple cart in hell. Satan is coming against us. But bless God, let me just say this to you today. We're not fighting for victory. Jesus has already won the victory for the church. We're fighting from victory. Give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Now, Philadelphia was to just simply hold fast. Stay with the stuff. Just keep on keeping on. And the first obstacle that they had to overcome was their size and strength. This was a small church. And yet, this is one of the two out of the seven that Jesus commended. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how small you are. What matters is, are we following the call and command of Jesus Christ? Are we reaching people for Christ? Are we teaching people to follow Christ? That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. And so, although they are small and they had a little strength, they had remained true and faithful to God's word and were proud to bear His name. Proud to bear His name. And so they're working until Jesus comes. And as I mentioned this, what determines our ministry is not our size and our strength, but rather being faithful. Let me say this. God's commandments are God's enablements. Y'all will probably get that sometime later on today, but God's commandments are God's enablements. If God's called us to do something, He's going to provide. Whatever it is, whatever He's called us to do, He's going to provide for us. Somebody shout amen. Amen. If Jesus gives us an open door, we can walk through it by faith and do great things for His name. Amen. I think here's the problem. My Bible's sitting on this thing. All right. I'm blaming the media team back there. What's he talking about? Anyways, the second obstacle it was opposition from the Jews, unbelieving Jews in the city. And Satan was behind that. How many of you know our battle's not against flesh and blood? It's against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Our battle's against the evil one. There is a war going on. This is not some playground. This is a battleground. Y'all with me? All right. Satan was behind the opposition. And probably what's going on, you had these Jewish unbelievers excluding Jewish believers from the synagogue and bearing false witness against them. How many of you know it's not easy when you've got a bunch of folks working against you and lying about you? But listen to this. You remember the 12 spies? Remember those guys? Yeah. You know, Moses sent them down into the promised land to check it out and bring back a report as to what all they needed to do. Well, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, brought back, oh, have mercy. It's everything God said it was. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that's so been blessed by God Himself, and we can take it by faith. And then the majority of the crowd, you know, the majority can be wrong. And the other 10 said, oh, it's just like God said it was. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, look at these grapes we brought back. But there ain't no way we're going to be able to take it. There's giants down there in the land. Can I just share this truth with you? Faith sees the opportunity. Unbelief sees the opposition.
Amen.
Y'all, that's good truth. Faith sees the opportunity. Unbelief sees the obstacles. So what's your focus on today? Who's got the keys? Who's got the door open? Enough said. Now, let me just touch on this. This is a rabbit that I could chase for a while. We're just going to mention it. But did you see that reference up there? He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I'll also keep you from the hour of testing or trial. That's a period of time which shall come upon you. That's future. Shall come the whole world. That's everyone. To test those who dwell on the earth. I think he's talking there about the great tribulation. And this is a promise to the church in Philadelphia as well. But how many of you know that one of these days that trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to step down off the clouds and he's coming here for his people? We call that church, we call that the rapture. He's coming. He said he was. And when we leave, can you imagine what this place is going to be like once the church is gone? All of hell itself is going to break loose. We're going to call that period the Great Tribulation period. So I believe this is a reference to the Great Tribulation and a promise to the church that we're going to escape that great day of wrath. Now there's other interpretations and that's okay. But I'm going to go with Jesus when he comes. Okay? So let me say this too. Those who persevere, he's talking about perseverance here. Those who persevere to the end, prove that their faith is genuine. How many of you know we're eternally secure because of the power of God? You're not saved because you're holding on to him. You're saved eternally because he's holding on to you.
Amen.
The power of God. And so, I like this. He's talking about no one will take your crown. That's the crown of life. He's talking about eternal life. No one will be able to take your eternal life away from you. Glory to God. How many of you remember? Well, I'm showing my age now. But y'all remember Elvis Presley had this group of guys that followed him wherever he went? And he put jewelry on them that said what? TCB. How many of y'all remember that? Three of you. Well, guess what TCB meant? Taking care of business. And brothers and sisters, like they were singing about this morning, if we'll take care of business and walk through the doors that God's given us this year, Jesus will fight our battles. If we take care of the business, he's going to take care of the battle. I'm reminded from time to time, we are Baptists. Amen. Remember, Jesus has got it going on. He's got the keys. And whatever the opposition or obstacle, it's no match for the one who's holy and true. Here's the last one. We not only have an open door to witness, an open door to work, an open door to withhold, we also have an open door to worship. Oh, boy, this is good. Look at verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name.
Amen.
He who has an ear. Y'all got two ears, don't you? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the symbolism there in verse 12 would be especially meaningful to a group of people who were in constant fear of earthquakes. What is a pillar? Well, that's an object that is immovable, right? It's stable. Wasn't shaking, all of that. And so there was no need for them to fear or flee from the city. or to live in huts and tents. And in ancient times, y'all, I found this out in my study this week. In ancient times, sometimes the leadership would place someone's name, a deity, on those pillars and bear the name of some false god. But you know what God's pillars are? Faithful people. Faithful people. And if you don't... Let me just say this. Brother Cal, I don't know if I'm an overcomer or not. I don't know if I'm going to be able to overcome all this stuff that's coming against me. Let me read 1 John 5 to you. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, if you're a believer, you're an overcomer. You are going to overcome. You will be secure in heaven. And the language here speaks of intimate fellowship and relationship that we have. And we're even going to have a deeper, we're even going to be in a deeper relationship when we get to the New Jerusalem. That new name that He's going to give to us is going to reveal Him to us in a more fuller way. Can you imagine? We're going to know even more about Jesus when we see Him as He is face to face than we know now. Can you imagine what worship's going to be like in heaven? I can only imagine. I have not seen nor ear heard or entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Whew. Worship's going to be awesome in heaven. And it's going to be a whole lot better than it is down here. But bless God, we ought to be getting ready for the way it is up there. Amen. Down here. Now, here's what I want to wrap up with, and we're done. God pours out His blessings on churches that remain loyal to Him. He wrote 7 letters to 7 churches here in the book of Revelation, and only 2 of them were commended and praised by the Lord Jesus. Only 2 out of the 7. And the church at Philadelphia is described as the faithful church. Because you see, they were walking through those doors that Jesus opened for them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He blesses churches that are faithful and gives them an open door to evangelism, ministry, delivers them from opposition, and is placed out in front of them an eternal worship of the King of Glory. We've got an open door of opportunity right now in 2024. And the great question I have for Second Mile Church, are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be faithful to the open door that He's... And that door won't stay open forever. There were churches in the book of Revelation that didn't let Him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. They didn't listen to Him. And you know what? They lost their lampstand. In other words, God took their light out of the community. And most of those churches are not there now. Can't find them. I don't know about you, but I want to hear these words. Well done. Well done, Second Mile. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Mr. Deacon. Well done, Mrs. Deaconess. Well done, Sunday school teacher. Well done, missions leader. Well done. Come on in. Enter into the joy of your salvation. I know that's what y'all want to hear. But in order to hear that, We got to function like he's talking about here right now. And so it's decision time. Would you bow your head with me? Close your eyes. No looking around. I want to give a witness right now. If you're here this morning and you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, if you're not sure about that, my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and repent, to forsake it, to walk away from it, to be so sick of it, that you'll turn to Jesus by faith today and surrender everything that you are to everything that He is, ask Him to be the Lord of your life, the Savior will come in. And He'll provide His Spirit for you. And you'll be able to be faithful. You'll be able to hear those words. Because He's making you an overcomer. And I think those of us that are here, there's something you can do for Jesus. There's something that God's telling you to do. To be involved with. To get plugged in. I want to pray for y'all. And every time the word's spoken or preached or sung, this altar here is a place to meet the Lord. Yeah, you can meet Him there in the seat, but there's no accountability that way. None. How long has it been since you've been to an altar and cried out to God? Help me. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to share Jesus with you. Whatever it is that your need is. Counselors are coming. And you need to come. I want to pray. And then Brother Andrew's going to lead us in an invitational hymn. Or song. Father, this morning we come to you by faith. That's where the victory comes from, by faith. And we know that you will do what you said. But I know there are brothers and sisters here that just need to say yes. Just need to do what you're calling them to do. They don't need the preacher to tell them what you want to do. They've got you. And so I pray you'd speak to men and women, boys and girls all across this church house this morning. And that you would do a work that only you could get credit for. And I pray that those that need Christ, that need to be saved today, if they haven't prayed in their seat, that they would come right now so that our counselors can lead them to faith in Christ. Make it so, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Quietly, stand to your feet as we sing. And you come right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Just come on.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.